people want you to join in their complaining. If we fail to realize it at the moment, we will fall right in and complain. We complain about the sun shining. We complain about the rain coming. We complain about the people. We complain about who didn't do this and who didn't do that. Stop complaining about everybody. It's a good message for me. But when they started complaining, it took like wildfire, and the whole camp started complaining. And then notice what they did. They started talking about God first. This thing ain't working for me. They start talking about God first. Then they say anything equated to God, the man of God. Start talking about him. And you know what else? If you keep talking, what happens? Then you start talking about the church folk. Start talking about the church. Ah, the church ain't this. The church ain't nobody did it. Ain't nobody. You start complaining about that. And the devil wants to trick you into complaining because he knows that chastisement comes right after complaining. Y'all with me? Say something. Chastisement comes after your complaining. Tell somebody, stop complaining before you get a whooping. Look at the consequences here. The consequences, I know you don't want to hear this message. You thought something else. You're going to be lifted up. But I'm trying to get you here, trying to get you to the place of being lifted up. We can't be lifted up with all that mess holding us down. Verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. Look at how bad this was. These fiery serpents, what the word fiery means, seraph, which means the fire, means that they were so poisonous that when they bit you, it burned. It burned. When they bit you, it burned. And so he says that the fiery serpents, they were among the people. And you know, if we see a snake now, we out. I heard somebody say, if you see a snake in my house, they can have the house. We gone. But the snakes came among the people. They didn't know where the snakes were. The snakes came among them and said, oh, it was so many of them, they were just biting folks. So many snakes. And can you imagine now you was complaining about a wilderness where you didn't see no snakes? Lord have mercy. And because you complain, here come nothing but snakes. See, when you talk negative, negativity comes to you. Don't complain about the place God has you now, because you don't know what you're going to bring in that place. God has a protection around you already. He's kept you and he's going to keep you. But when you start complaining, you put a breach in the protection. All right. Thank you, Antonio. So he says that verse six says that a lot of them died. Not a few, thousands of them. So much, verse 7 says, and therefore the people came to Moses. Look at this. The consequences was that they begin to die because of their doubt. They begin to die because of their mouth. They begin to die because of their complaint. I wish I had somebody in here. I wish you see this now, that because what we got to make sure that we understand that life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. We got to make sure we remember that. It's in the power of the tongue. And we got power because we're created in God's image. And we are the body of Christ. And we have a power and authority. We exercise it in the realm that we live in. And that's why we should say, give us this day our daily bread and not get tired of it. Oh. Tired of going to prayer because ain't nobody going to show up. Tired of going to Bible study because I could be home watching my TV shows. You better DVR that mess and get to where you can get a word. Amen here. We got to stop making excuses for our selfishness. In order to be a disciple, you have to be selfless. You got to put God first or you're not a disciple. Point blank. All right, let me go on. Then verse 7 says, and then they came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Look at this. After their chastisement, see, sometimes we ain't going to act right until God whoop us. They begin to confess their sin. Look at this. This is the way to the cross. I'm telling you, this is the way to salvation. This is the way to freedom. This is the way to all that salvation brings us, the liberty. He says that they came and they said, Moses, we have sinned. And we have spoken against the Lord and against you. How are you going to tell a man we've been talking about you? Now, you can say, man, I said the wrong thing about God. But you're going to tell me to my face? Now, that's why you know Moses was a meek man. More meek than anybody in the camp of Israel, because he didn't say, I ain't praying for nothing. He didn't say that. Look at what Moses did. Let's go. Because many of us, we wouldn't have prayed for him. We would have said, that's what they get. I ain't got no snake bite. I ain't worried about it. I'm sleeping good at night. That's what we would have said. I'm sleeping good. I ain't worried about that mess. Y'all, that's y'all. Y'all deal with it. You learn. Get you a whole killer snake. Get you some snake away. Pull some sulfide. But I ain't worried about you. That's what we would have done. Am I right? Come on, don't pretend now. Don't pretend. Because I could think of some people right now I would have said, All right. Just try to see if y'all awake out there. Don't go to sleep on me. Come on, tell somebody. Don't go to sleep on the pastor here. He's giving you some good word. Hey, it may not be candy today, but you need this. Amen. It may be some castor oil. You need it today. It's medicine for our soul. It's a reality check. Amen. Amen. From the front to the back, we all get checked on this one. So he says, Moses, pray. We need you to intercede for us, basically.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 42. And I just want to lift out verse 10 in your hearing. Job, chapter 42, verse 10. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave to Job twice as much as he had before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, just live right. Just live right. I came up in a time where I was fortunate enough to have grandmother in my life and to have older people who had a higher standard of living and a godly way of life. And that was one of the phrases that my dear big mama, whatever you called her, used to say, if you just live right. God has a way of doing things for you that's beyond your comprehension. When you learn how to live according to the word, the will, and the way of God. And the book of Job is really a story about living right. Of all these things that it speaks of in these 42 chapters, the greatest message would probably be, when it's all said and done, from the human perspective, is just live right. The Bible says God bragged on Job, asked Satan, had he seen, did he meet the acquaintance of his servant Job, that there was none like him in all the earth, and that he loved God and escheweth evil. And then the devil tried to turn it around and said, well, does he serve you for nothing? You know, it's like, if God is that good, there's a reason why Job is serving you, not because he is good, but because you are good to him. And see, that's the problem with a whole lot of our mentalities. We enjoy God as long as God is good to us. But when you live right, you live right in spite of when times are good and times are bad or times are indifferent, because you know the right way to live. You know what is God's perspective. You know what God's principles are. You know what God's desire is. And so you align your life with that more than how you feel and what you can get or receive, because you recognize those things are fleeting. They're passing. But the way of the Lord is the only true way. And so this story of Job is so important for us to comprehend from a deeper inner perspective. Just live right. There are so many things that happen in our lives, and we make choices every day. And our choices are not good choices all the time, because we sometimes use the world's method of judgment to go by and to get by, when God has given us a higher standard in his word by which we are to operate in. And Job shows us this. I mean, he was so in love with God. He was so committed to doing things God's way. He made sacrifices not only for himself, but he did it for his children, just in the event they may have said something or done something that displeased God. Job was a man that knew how to live right. Now, my brothers and sisters, when we get all the way back to this 42nd chapter, there's a whole lot that is interplayed between these chapters 1 and 42. And time would definitely not even permit for me to give you just a taste of all of the things that he went through. But hear me when I tell you, Job went through some stuff. Job is known for his patience. He's known as the most patient man in the Word of God. And some of us say, well, I wish I had the patience of Job. No, you don't. Because Job got his patience through tribulations. And a whole lot of don't want the tribulation Job had in order to get the patience. But there's another thing I want you to understand. What the name of Job means in Hebrew. You see, Job's name in the Hebrew means hated and persecuted. Did you hear me? Job's name meant hated and persecuted. He was hated by Satan because he was so good. But then he was persecuted by those who were supposed to be his friends, his associates, his friends, those who were the closest to him. They persecuted him because he was just too right for anybody's business. You know some people who try to pretend like they're holier than thou, and they get on your nerves. Well, Job wasn't pretending. Job was holier than thou. He didn't play the games they played. His heart was sincere and true and pure, and he meant what he meant. And so when things started happening to Job, his friends were the first one to start persecuting him. Eliphaz, he was the ringleader. Bildad, he was the next one in line. And then Zophar, he was the last one. Kind of like whatever they say, he go along with it. And they were his friends. And listen at this. The longer Job went through his struggles and his troubles and his trials, they persecuted him and said, Job, if you were as honest and as real as you pretend to be, all of these things wouldn't be happening to you. Now listen to his friends talking about it now. Job, there's obviously some skeletons, Job, in your closet. Even though you've done a good job hiding them from us, the good Lord knows what you got in your closet. And one of the things that we know about God is God would not allow just people, good people, to suffer the issues that they're going through, that you're going through, Job, if you were as holy as you claim to be. Well, you see, this is the mentality of the world. They don't understand about suffering for righteousness because you are coming against the enemy of this world. Your desire, your thoughts, all are different from his, and therefore you think differently from him. And so the better you are, the worse you are to the enemy. And so his friends kept trying to pick and pick and pick. And Job would say, no, I've tried to find anything I could in my past. I've looked, I've searched, I've prayed, I've done all I could do to find out what I did to make these things come upon me. But what Job did not know was that God had a conversation with the enemy, and that he believed in Job so much, he put Job up to this test. And Job did not know it was only a test. Listen at this now. But he goes through this thing not knowing it. And in the first few verses of the 42nd chapter, there's a conversation going on between him and the Lord. And he makes it clear that you've hidden some stuff from me that I should have known. And because you hid wise counsel from me, there were some things that were too wonderful for me to understand some things that were so deep spiritually, I couldn't put my finger on. I did the best I could, yet he never cursed God. He never did anything wrong toward God. And so it proved that his heart was right toward God. Now listen to this now, because I want to get to the point of this 10th verse. Because now, one of the things that I need you to see is God shows you the people around you. Sooner or later, he's going to reveal what they really think about you. Something is wrong if you've got folk around you and they're supposed to be watching your back, and you've got to watch them watching your back. Something is wrong when the people that Job considered to be the most best friends that he had, who knew everything that was about Job that they thought they knew until he began to experience sickness and troubles and trials, and they started whispering, well, something must be wrong. You know what's done in the dark comes to the... You know all the little sayings that they use and so forth. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I always knew something just wasn't. And so here's the thing. They started lying on God. Eliphaz, the ringleader, started telling Job and the others, well, I've consulted with the Lord, and there are some things that he's revealed. The Lord told me to tell you. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's my problem with that. If I got a relationship with the Lord and I talked with him already this morning, why would he skip over telling me something to tell you to tell me? And so that's something wrong with the way you're doing this and you're doing that. Well, why didn't the Lord tell me that? I've been asking him for that. And so they would lie on the Lord. It's right there in that 42nd chapter. And so look at what God says. Just see this right quick, and I'm closing. It's a short message. If you just live right, don't you forget ever that the Lord sits up high, but he's looking down low. There is nothing he does not see, nothing he does not hear, and nothing he does not know. And what makes it worse is when you lie using the name of the Lord. Listen at this now. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar were all lying on the Lord. Can you imagine how Job felt going through the darkest days of his life, looking for encouragement, looking for a friend that'll pray with him, intercede for him, stand in the gap, someone that would encourage him while he's going through these dark days, and yet instead of encouraging him, they are discouraging him. They took him down to the lowest level, to the point that he wished he had never been born. And so the Lord had enough of those so-called friends. And so he tells them, in that 42nd chapter in the first 7 verses between Job and God, and then between Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, that they had lied on him using God's name and lied on the Lord to bring Job down. And the Lord was so disappointed with that. Look at what the Lord told them to do. Get 7 bullocks and 7 rams and offer them as burnt offering. And listen to what he said. I'm going to get my servant Job to pray for you. Now, the very man that was no good, low down, that they talked about, had all this darkness in his life, wasn't going the right way, God says, I'm going to get my man to pray for you. All Job had to do was live right. His greatest defense was to live right. And so here they come, because this was an inspired instruction. An inspired instruction is a divine authoritative command that God expects one to do, whether you understand it or not. And so they understood, however, that they had lied on God, because they know God didn't tell them nothing. But now here's the bad thing about it. Some folk are so messed up that they sincerely think the Lord said it. They're wrong, and sincerely wrong, because they have gotten themselves in a place where the enemy's voice sounds like the Lord's voice. And so he tells them, you go and make this burnt offering, sacrifice. Now, it's twofold, because in the end, God recognizes that they really weren't evil people. They made some mistakes and they got caught up in flesh, carnality, and in judgment. That's one of the reasons why the Bible tells us, judge not that we be not judged. And so when they made this judgment stands, now they took Job off trial and put themselves on trial. This time, God is doing the judging. And so now, their job is to go and to present this burnt offering. But Job's job is to pray for him. Now, you might say, that's no big deal. That's no biggie. No problem. But can you imagine what it takes for somebody to pray for somebody that has talked about you and lied on you and pulled you down and said every damnable thing they could say about you, everything that they could possibly make evil about you, they said it. And now you got to pray for them? Don't think that's no easy thing. Get in a position like that, because it's called forgiveness. See, Job had to make sure, God had to make sure Job's heart was still tender, was still right, and that he would pray for, forgive his friends for what they did. And I love the way the Lord does that. He puts that responsibility on Job. Could have prayed for him, or he could not have prayed for him. But nothing was going to change one way or the other until something happened. And so he prayed for his friends. And then the last part of that verse 10 says, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. What does that say? First of all, that what he had before God gave it to him.